Now, we'll open our Bibles to the book of Philippians. And we'll just read a few verses right throughout the whole epistle. It would be good to read the whole epistle, but time won't permit it. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. For to me to live is Christ. Chapter 2. We'll read from verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Coming over to chapter 3, and reading from verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Coming down to verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And God will bless to us the reading of his precious words. The few simple thoughts that I want to leave with us this afternoon are simply these. It's in relation to our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, our life. Christ, our example. Christ, our goal or our object. Christ, our hope. Christ, our joy. And Christ, our strength. I was just speaking earlier on in the day with a brother, and I said to him that I thought that one of the problems that we have today as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ is that we try and fit the things of the Lord around about us around about our life, around about our work, around about that which concerns ourselves. And then we try and just make enough room for the things of the Lord around about. Instead of the Lord being the center of our lives and of our attention and our attraction, and we fitting our lives around about the Lord. And you know, that's what we should do as believers. That the Lord should be the center of our lives, our all. And then everything else around about that. You know, if we could get back to that, it would make such a difference in our spiritual lives and in the gatherings of the Lord's people. If we were to give the Lord back the rightful place that he deserves in our lives. And so we have Christ our life, Christ our example, Christ our goal, Christ our hope, Christ our joy, and Christ our strength. And I was thinking of a hymn that's not in our Believer's Hymn Book, but it's in the Redemption Hymn Book. And it says this, and I feel that the hymn writer, he really got the appreciation, and perhaps he got the inspiration from this book of Philippians as he wrote this hymn. He says, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He is my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trial sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain, sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend. What an appreciation the hymn writer had of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that appreciation can be ours, each one. Each one of us that have trusted Christ as Saviour, we can come into that same relationship, into that same nearness, that same place of fellowship with our Lord as we move through this scene. He's my friend. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. One that will never fail us. And one that to whom we can trust and to whom we can look to in our daily lives, and the one to whom we can look forward to being in his presence forever. And if there's any here this afternoon and you still haven't trusted Christ as Saviour, we'll say to you, he's the one that you need to trust. He's the friend you need to have. And he's the only one that can help us as we pass through this scene. So we see the Apostle Paul here, and he's writing to these Christians in Philippi. We remember the first occasion when he went to Philippi. It wasn't all that much of a nice time that he had. It wasn't all nice and rosy. We remember that it was there that whilst there was opposition, there was blessing. It was there where Lydia was saved. It was there where the damsel that was possessed with the spirit of divination, where she was freed from the control of Satan over her life. It was there where they were beaten and where they were placed in the jail, and where the Philippian jailer and his household were saved. And from there the work grew, and it grew until we find an assembly of the Lord's people gathered in that place. And you know, that should be our object in life as we seek to reach out with the Word of God, that there will be others that will be saved, that there will be a company of people that will be gathered together, and there will be an assembly established to the honour and the glory of our Lord. When we read here in Philippians in the beginning, he's speaking here in the first few verses, and he says about their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And I was thinking of that fellowship from the first day until now. You know, that fellowship didn't start with a monetary gift. That fellowship started with a sister opening her home for the Lord's people to be able to be there. If you've counted me worthy, well then you come into my home and abide with me. We think of the second occasion of fellowship that there was in the gospel. And that was again of a practical nature, when the Philippian jailer, when he took Paul and Silas and when he washed their wounds and when he set food before them. And then as time goes on, we can see how there was fellowship. And as we come through to the end of this epistle, we can see that there was fellowship in a monetary way. And he can rejoice together with regard to that which they had sent, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing unto God. And so, just getting back to what I was saying earlier on, we do appreciate the fellowship that has been extended to us in so many different ways. And Paul here, he too was appreciating that fellowship that they'd had with them from the first day right through until the present time. Now, as we look into the epistle to the Philippians, we don't see here doctrinal teaching being brought before these Christians. It's all practical teaching. And you know, whilst we need the doctrinal teaching of the Word of God, we too need the practical teaching. Because what we live out in our lives is what others around about us are going to see. And they're going to read our lives a long time before they're going to hear our words. And so we can see Paul here, and he's bringing before them this practical teaching with regard to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see, as we come down, we see him saying, for to me to live is Christ. What place was the apostle giving to the person of Christ in his life? Well, we'll all have to say, wouldn't we, that he was giving him first place. Now, what place does Christ want to have in our lives? As those that have been redeemed by his precious blood, we're not our own, we've been bought with a price. We belong to him. Now, what place does he want in our lives? He wants the first place. He wants the first place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the things of God. And so we see here, for Paul, Christ was his life. And everything evolved around about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful. That's what we need to get back to today. That Christ should be the centre, and that all my life should evolve around about the person of Christ and his will and his word for us. You know, so often we don't give the Lord the rightful place, do we? We allow other things to come in. It could be perhaps the family. It could be perhaps our belongings, our work, our studies, so many things. And whilst all those things are needful, we need to get things in their right perspective and in their right place. And the first place in our lives is to be the person of Christ. You see, all the other things that we have in this life, they can all be taken away from us in a moment of time. And we can be left destitute of all that which we have with regard to material things. But the person of Christ remains with us. And everything that we have in this scene, we're going to leave behind. And so we need to go out and go on and go in for the things of Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We know how that the apostle had suffered so many things. But yet, he was willing to suffer those things if it meant that Christ would be magnified. And that's what we have in the preceding verse. He's saying how that some preach Christ of envy and some of strife and some of contention and some of goodwill and so on. But he says he rejoices that Christ is preached. And that was his one desire, that the person of Christ should be made known to everyone around about him. Now, what's our desire with regard to the person of Christ? Do we have that desire that the person of Christ should be known to everybody around about us? Are we making the most of every opportunity that comes along our way? And are we praying that the Lord will give us opportunities that we might be able to make Christ known? Perhaps we've never prayed that way. I remember a sister in Colombia, and she couldn't get about. She'd been quite active in the things of the Lord, and she was confined to her home. And she prayed. Well, I say a young girl, perhaps in her teens, came to the door and selling some product or another. And the young girl forgot about selling a product and was happy just to listen to the other lady speaking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul had this one desire that Christ should be magnified in his body, whether it be by life or by death. And so I would encourage us each one that we have this same desire, that Christ should be our life, that we go in for the things of the Lord. As I said, we have to live in this world, and the things about us here are important too. But number one, the things and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we come down, and as we move through, and times are running away, we have Christ as our example. Whilst we have Christ as our life, we have Christ as our example. And you know, we could do no better than to look to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ as our example through this life. Remember, the Lord could say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Learn of me. We need to learn from our Lord Jesus Christ. We see different aspects of the person of Christ that we could imitate in our lives. Now, one of those is with regard to forgiveness. As Christ has forgiven us, so we are to forgive one another. You know, so often amongst the Lord's people, we don't have this forgiving spirit. Sure, we're going to have differences as we move through this scene, but we're to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. Then we have brought before us in Peter, don't we, with regard to the example of our Lord Jesus Christ there. It says there, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree." There we have a wonderful example for us in our lives. You know, so often we're just the opposite, aren't we? When we're reviled, we're ready to speak up. When we suffer something, perhaps at the hand of someone that's unsaved, we're ready to justify ourselves. But we see there the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here, when we come through to Philippians chapter 2, we have another example for us. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And what is the message that we have before here? We have the submissive mind. We have humility. And we can see written all over these verses that we've read together here, humility, humility, humility. You know, it's something that's very difficult for us in the flesh to actually put into practice in our lives, that we might be humble and that we might humble ourselves. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And we can think of him as being God, as being equal with God, but yet one that was willing to veil his glory, to take upon himself the form of a servant, to be made in the likeness of man. And then, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What an example for us to follow in our lives. A difficult example, but one that we need to put into practice. And right through Scripture we find these words of exhortation and words explaining to us and telling us how we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due season. We see there the example. Christ humbled himself, but God hath highly exalted him. If we humble ourselves, God will exalt us in his due time. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. In the preceding verses there, we see there, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, if we could put that into practice in our daily lives, to esteem each one of my brothers and sisters as being better than myself, we'd be a humble people. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He goes on to speak in the verses we didn't read of. He's speaking with regard to obedience. He's speaking with regard to doing. And he's speaking with regard to shining. And this is what we need to do in our lives, and again the example of Christ. Even though it doesn't mention it here. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, the obedience. And we think of the obedience of Christ. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the path for each believer in our Lord Jesus Christ is a path of obedience. Then there's a path of doing. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights. So there's the doing. We remember that Christ not only said, but he did. And we remember the life of Christ. And you know, we too as Christians, it's not only to be saying, to be speaking, it's to be doing. That others might see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. But then too there's the shining forth. And we remember how that there shone forth from the Saviour glory and majesty and honour. We beheld his glory, the disciples could say. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There was something there that they could pick him out and that they could see in the person of the Lord. What can the world see in us? Can they see the person of Christ in us? We're to shine forth as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. It goes on to say that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. So we have Christ as our example. Then as we come through to chapter 3, we have Christ as our goal. And again we can see Paul, and he's casting off all the things of this world. What things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And he had that one desire to know Christ, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, we're not to be discouraged if the past of our past lives haven't been lives that they should be. Paul goes on to say to them, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so each one of us, we're to have that desire to know Christ more and more. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and to be made conformable unto his death. Forget those things which are behind in our lives, and to start off from today on, reaching forward to those things which are before us. We can't change anything of a past life, but we can change all of future life. If there's need for change, that the things of Christ and our desire to know Christ might be more and more. Verse 20 of chapter 3, we have there Christ our hope. Christ our hope. And you know, as we move through this scene and we see the situation in the world becoming darker and becoming more difficult, and as we see lawlessness abounding on every hand, and we just wonder what the end of things will be, we have a hope. Christ our hope. For our citizenship is in heaven. That means to say that we're actually citizens of heaven. We're going there one day to heaven, and we're already citizens of heaven. We're but passing through this scene. It says, for our citizenship, or our conduct, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the hope that thrills our hearts as we move from day to day. As we see the things around about us decaying and becoming darker. One bright gleam I see. Well, I know the blessed morrow. Christ will come for me. And so it's our hope. The coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says he'll change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Now, if there was nothing else, this should be sufficient for us to have the desire to make Christ a number one in our lives. That soon the Lord's coming again, and soon we're going to be with him forevermore. Don't remember which of the writers, I think it might be Jude, which speaks about being ashamed before him at his coming. Being ashamed before him at his coming. But you know, there's no need for that. As we move on in fellowship with the Lord, we can rejoice in him. And we can have joy in his presence. Not only now, but in that coming day. So we're that's to be our hope. Christ our hope. We're to be watching and waiting and living in the expectation of his soon coming again. Then we have Christ our joy. In chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There's many things, many circumstances in life that would cause to bring sadness and sorrow into our hearts and lives. But our joy and rejoicing is in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And whilst ever we have our eyes fixed on him, we'll be able to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In chapter 3, the apostle starts those words too. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. So that we were rejoicing more and more in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now our time's gone. The last reading that we had is Christ our strength. Christ our strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. As we move through life and again faced with difficulties and problems in life, we have one that we can turn to be our help and to be our strength. We remember that Paul, he was alone on many an occasion. We remember there were times when all forsook him and fled. But he could say, I was not alone, because the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And so the Lord is our strength as we move from day to day. And as we pass through those difficult times, and each one of us have them in our lives, we have those times of difficulties, of problems, of sorrows. We have one who is our strength and stay. The psalmist knew all about it, didn't he? And he could say, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And here Paul, he's experienced it. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It's not doing all things in my own strength, but it's doing all things in the strength that Christ gives us. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so as we move through this life, until our Lord shall come, might the person of our Lord Jesus Christ be more precious to us. To you who believe, he is precious, and might he be precious to us, and might he be our constant friend and companion as we move through this life, our joy, our rejoicing, our hope, our goal, our example, our life, and then finally our strength, the one who will strengthen us and keep us and help us until travelling days are done. May God bless his word to us.